Jay Alvis joins us, and it was a pleasure having Jay on last week. He's got over 35 years in the game, PR executive for both the Athletics and the Rockies, done some broadcasting as well, and he's a great fountain of information about baseball history and just analyzing the game. So, Jay, nice to have you back with us today.
Marty, it's great always to be on your show. I enjoyed it very much. Good to talk baseball, as always. What a week, huh?
Boy, and let me tell you, first I'll start with your former team, and you and I talked about it last weekend. Yeah. Troy Tulowitzki woke up one day, he was a Rocky. The next day, he was out of the country. How shocked were you with that, and how do you analyze that trade?
I was very surprised that it was Toronto, not so much of the trade. I thought he might go somewhere. I really thought it would be like the Mets or maybe even San Diego, somebody really looking for a shortstop. I didn't think Toronto needed to improve their offense much, which they certainly have done now, obviously, with that. But the A's got three suspects in it, and they got a good shortstop in Reyes, which I'm sure they'll, the Rockies did, I should say. They'll flip him, I'm sure, at some point in the wintertime. But they got three very good arms, and I think their new philosophy is we're going to go with power. Those guys are all throwing 95-plus, so I guess they're going to decide to, rather than sinker ball, is get guys that throw it by people is what it looks like. And, you know, why not give that a shot now?
You're in Colorado for a long time. What kind of a pitcher succeeds there? When you look at the Ubaldo Jimenez of the world, Chacin's, who actually was good there?
The one, well, Ubaldo was incredible for half a year. That's the best pitcher I think I've ever seen for half a season, the year he started the All-Star game. But really, the guy, it's more mental than it is physical as much as anything else. You're going to get knocked around at times. I was there one time when Roger Bailey, I believe it was, gave up five home runs, and they're all solo shots, and he won the game. Roger was one of those guys who didn't care about his ERA, didn't care about as long as we won the game. And I really think that's the attitude you have to go there to be consistently successful. Is like, you know what, as long as we score more than they do, I'm fine. Although, it is a lot better now with the humidor installed. It's not quite as crazy as it was when I first went up there when the ball was just flying out of there. I mean, cracked handle bat hits would go out of the ballpark. It was crazy. So it's better. But you need to be really tough mentally to deal with that place on a consistent basis.
You know, listening to Dave Fleming sometimes on the broadcast, Jay Alvis is with us. Dave always says a sinker ball pitcher doesn't work there because the ball doesn't sink. Is there any truth to that?
Well, maybe not as much as it would, say, here, obviously, in the Bay Area or another ballpark. But it does sink. It just doesn't move as much. And that's what's – I'll tell you what's weird when you go there, Marty, is you watch the hitters just – you know, the Rockies hitters just get like 12 hits a game and rockets all over and go on the road. And the first couple of games, the ball – I mean, it breaks more on the road and at sea level or maybe a little above. And they can't hit. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the road trip, they're starting to figure it out. And then it's almost too late. That's what it seems like. That's the funny part, is watching that club hit at home and then go on the road and just be feeble on the road.
Another tough year for them, but Tulowitzki's in Toronto and Cargo is still there. LaTroy Hawkins went with him, so the Rockies did get in the middle of it. You know what hit me this week? I looked at the Hamels trade. I looked at the Cueto trade, the Kazmir trade, the Price trade. All the minor leaguers, you just don't get a major leaguer anymore. And you look at someone, and Bobby Evans just said to us, we opened up our farm system to the Phillies, and they could pick seven or eight, you know, as potentials. Wow. that they, you know, could possibly craft a deal around some of them. But teams who are out of it and teams that want to move these big free agents want to get these players who are in A-ball, AA-ball, and they rush them up to the big leagues. The major leagues have changed. They can't wait to get guys and have them show something in the minor leagues and rush them up to the big leagues. And it's no more trades of major leaguers. It's minor leaguers, and we can't wait to get you up here.
Well, that's the most valuable chip you can have now in the game, without a doubt, Martin. That's the one thing that I took away from this past week. Certainly, what I remember, 43 trades were made, 15 alone on Friday. What was traded? As you mentioned, if you notice, Cueto and Price were traded for six left-handed minor league pitchers. That tells you exactly what's the most valuable thing in the game today. Obviously, young pitchers that you can control, big arms, and left-handed. I mean, obviously, you want to get some right-handed with good arms, too. But if it's left-handed and throws in the mid-90s and he's a young man, that's what they're looking for. That's exactly right, Martin. And I think part of it maybe is the success you're seeing from some guys now that are so young, the Correas and those people. Yeah. Mike Trout kind of started the whole thing, Ian Harper, when they're in their 20s. So I think clubs are going, hey, I can get this guy up there, and he can help us now. We'll see. But obviously this week for me, what I took from it was that's the most valuable thing in a game right now is young pitchers.
Boy, great insight. Very good, Jay. Very good insight. And we would expect that from you with your background in the game. No, I like that because I look at the A's and the left-handers they got, and one of which was, I think, the top prospect in what, the Kansas City? Yeah, in the Kansas City organization for Zobrist.
Yep.
Boy, look at Zobrist. Two homers today for him. You know, Toronto can add Tulowitzki, Zobrist, David Price, but there's just something about this team, and you've seen it for years. They're just snake bitten. They can't get it straight. They haven't been in the playoffs since Cito Gaston back in 92, 93, or 91.
Boy, they were good then. That's when the A's were going in there in the early 90s when I was with that club. And George Bell and that group, that was really a good club. Very dangerous teams and very good teams. Very good pitching. David Steve and those people. I remember them. They had great bullpens. I think they still, I mean, even with Price, I still think the pitching's a little short. But then, those guys can hit. I mean, Tulo's leading off for that club right now. It blows my mind. That just tells you right away. It's almost like the Bobby Bonds thing when the Giants had those years. I mean, he can hit one out any time. And so I'm amazed at how powerful that club, especially in that ballpark, because the ball flies out of that place. And so that's a very dangerous club. They're going to pound you to death. They're going to win a lot of games like the old Rockies teams, 10-8, 10-9.
Well, it's going to be interesting. There are 13 games left with the Yankees. And, you know, the second wild card, I mean, it got everybody into it except one team, San Diego. And that's the one team that had everyone in the world on the block, everybody from Justin Upton right down to the bat boy. And they ended up maybe making the very minor trade of an infielder, and that was it. And they still I guess they think they're in it. That one shocked me.
No, I think it surprised a lot of people. I know it surprised a lot of the national media. I was surprised, too. I thought for sure, especially with Upton, because he's going to be a free agent and they're going to get him. I mean, the GM, who was so active last winter, said, I mean, I'll take a draft pick for him. I don't care. We think we're still in this thing, as you mentioned. So that's why they're doing it. I mean, I wonder what the fans are thinking down there. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic in that marketplace now because they were so excited. They came out of the gates. It just took a while for them to gel. Maybe they think they're going to gel now and they're going to take off. They've got some good players, certainly, so we'll see. But I really was surprised, like you, Marty, that they did very, very little at the break.
Well, they're 6.5 behind the Giants for the second spot. So, you know, I guess they're under 500. As I say, an under 500 team now better go out and win 19 out of 25 because you can't be under 500 heading into September. But they've won 6 of 10. They're starting to win a little bit. But, yeah, we'll have Craig Elston with us from the Mighty 1090. He does their pre and post 3:30 today. That's the first question I'm going to ask him. What are you doing? What are they doing down there? Now, how about
great
the Mets? Did you see the Wilmer Flores home run last
night? Yeah.
How about now? You've been around
I
baseball, and I really, you're one of the great baseball historians. You've been a broadcaster. Here's a kid who's crying on the field 2 days before. And you know Sandy Alderson. And this is an interesting – you can give an interesting perspective here. The Marine, Sandy Alderson, on the poster of You Want to Be a Marine, he's on there.
Mm-hmm.
His shortstop is crying. The deal falls apart. He says that this deal's not happening. And then look what happens last night.
Well, it's like baseball is so great because stuff like that, you just can't write. You can't write a script like that. And that kid is now certainly a favorite with those Mets fans. They think he's their favorite player just because of what he showed for being a Met. But, again, in a little bit, in some ways, and social media has gotten in front of that thing. It's what's happened. I mean, I was involved the year the Rockies traded Ubaldo Jimenez. And I'm sitting in the office with Jim Tracy, our manager, and Ubaldo, and myself, and we're watching on ESPN. The trade is not done yet. And we're watching go by on the screen, the crawl go across the screen that Ubaldo's been traded. It's like, well, here we are sitting here, and it hasn't happened yet. So I think in some ways, social media kind of caught them a little bit, but yet got them before they got it done. And Sandy's very meticulous and very sharp, and he was not happy with some of the reports, apparently, and just said, no, we're not going to do this. That doesn't surprise me. I felt bad for the young man with the Mets and that it did get out and that it happened because obviously he was emotional about it. But, man, he's – and with the home run last night, he's now certainly a Mets favorite forever.
Yeah. Wilmer Flores, a walk-off 12th inning. This is a very big series with the Mets and Washington. And DeGrom goes today, and Joe Ross, Tyson Ross's brother, is going for Washington. This is huge. Jay, if I had to pick a wild card team, or let's say a dark horse team, I won't use wild card because it means something else, but a dark horse team, I'm taking the Mets. I'm taking the Mets
Marty,
with that pitching.
With their pitching, you're exactly. And DeGrom, how good, how electric was he at the All-Star game? That was an electric performance. Their pitching is tremendous, and they have some depth there. They gave up one of them to get Cespedes now, who gives them a real threat in that lineup. They were really struggling offensively, and now he gives them a threat along with the reader they picked up in Kelly Johnson. So they changed their offense, which they had to do because their pitching is dynamic and excellent. I would be like you, Marty. I think they have a chance to get into that thing. And if you get into it, hey, goodbye. You get to the dance. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, goodbye. If you get in with the pitching, we've seen it with the Giants.
Absolutely.
You can do that. And they have a good bullpen, too. Their bullpen is pretty solid. Looking at a lot of things that happened this week, but I guess maybe the most interesting from the Giants' standpoint, they really were in on Hamels. Bobby Evans just told us that. They opened up the farm system to the Phillies, and, you know, seven or eight players were, you know, potentially could be picked. They didn't get him. He went to Texas, which really shocks me why. I don't know. I just can't believe that he ended up in Texas, of all places, you know, with the pitching down there and 100 degrees all the time. That's where he ends up. But they ended up with Mike Leake. And you know Mike Leake. You've seen him for years. What's your take on Mike Leake? What does he bring, and is it a good move?
I thought it was a very astute move. It was something that the guy is, especially pitching, he's pitching that bandbox in Cincinnati for those years and been successful. And coming to the AT&T, I think he's going to be terrific. I think he's a classic Giant move in that he's somebody who's very effective, knows how to pitch, a very, very good athlete, can really field his position. I think he's a better hitter than Madison Bumgarner, which tells you a lot right there.
Really?
Yeah, he can really hit, and he can run. He is a terrific athlete, which I like him to pitch as a good athlete like that. And he's that, but he also throws strikes. He's around the plate. He's got a very good infield behind him, a very good defensive club. Buster will be calling the signals. I think he's a nice addition to that club, and people are kind of down. Well, we didn't get Hamels and we didn't get Price. I'm telling you, this guy's pretty good, and especially in this park behind this team, I think he was a very, very astute pickup.
All right. Jay Alvis is with us. Love talking both. You know, we do this all the time when we see each other.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to ask you, I'll give you some names. You tell me who's going to have the biggest impact in the second. We've seen this in baseball. Beltran not here, didn't, but Beltran with Houston was off the charts. He got a big contract out of that. Matt Holliday we saw with the Cardinals when he went over.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you Cespedes, Cueto, Price, Hamels. Who has the big, or I'm going to throw Matt Latos in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the biggest impact on a team?
Cespedes brings so much more even than what you see on the field. That guy, I think he really energizes a clubhouse. I think he brings a lot of toughness, and I think he's a power bat in the lineup that you know is coming around all the time. I'm a big Cespedes fan. I'd probably go with him first. The other guys are certainly going to have an impact, but Cespedes, that Met clubhouse needed something like that, and I think he's going to really add to that clubhouse internally as much as the fans will see externally. I think he's going to make him tougher and just a lot better, and I think he'll also obviously provide some power. And he's a terrific defender. Don't forget how good a defender he is, too. So, for me personally, probably Cespedes, and he's an everyday guy.
Yeah.
The other guys, when they pitch, will certainly have their impact. Johnny pitched okay last night against that tough Toronto club. He didn't do so good. Hamels tonight, I guess we'll see, right? We'll find out about that.
Maybe he'll tie Johnny Vandermeer. People forget he's coming off a no-hitter.
That's how crazy is that? He got traded the day after he chose a no-hitter for a club. He's an interesting guy. He's an up and down. He can pitch. I would love to see him at AT&T. He might have been pretty special in that ballpark. That's a great pitcher's park. Like you said, he's in Texas where the ball flies, so we'll see.
What did you think of Madison Bumgarner last night? His incident shouting out at Delino DeShields, Odor, and, you know, he just seems to get into these beefs all the time. What do you think about this?
Well, I'm an old school guy, and I'm with Madison, man. I mean, just hit the ball, and he doesn't stand out there and pump his fist up when he strikes you out. So I'm with him. I think if I was playing behind him, I'd love to see that. If I was a teammate, he's playing to win. And play the game right. I've always been taught that. Play the game right. And for me personally, next time don't tell your bat he's popped up. He got you out. You know, tip your cap, whatever. Next time that's that. And he's not going to sit out there and shout up, jump up and down when he gets you out. So I'm with Madison. I think it's cool. And like I said, if I was a teammate, I'm all for it.
Well, you know, you gave a good perspective because it's been are you on Twitter, by the way?
I am.
What's your handle on Twitter?
Oh, it's JBird007.
JBird007. All right, I got to follow you because on Twitter, it was very interesting to see everyone's perspective on it. And you're the first one who said, you know something? He doesn't do anything when he gets you out. And you're the first one that brought that up. And that's actually a fairly good perspective on how he treats the game and how he expects it to be treated. That's a good insight. All right.
That's him.
Jay Bird 007, is that what it was?
I think that's what it is. I remember correctly. That's what it was, I believe.
All right. We'll look it up. Hey, Jay, appreciate you being on. I love having you on. And, you know, this is the time of year where by week, things are going to happen. So it's great to touch base with you. I'd love to do it again.
All right, Marty, we'll do it again. Thanks very much for having me on. I love coming on.
Yeah, no good. That's Jay Alvis. Boy, what a pleasure, huh? All right.